Lord. Hallelujah. One time my wife ingested too much wine in a service, not here, another tabernacle. And I had to drag her out of there, you know, I had to take her, you know, put it in the car. And as I was just going to the car, the deacon looks at me and says, "What's wrong with her?" I said, "Well, she had too much wine." I told her, well, I mean, some people don't understand. I mean, this is a deacon, and they don't understand what new wine. I guess they never had it. That's just what happened. Because when you have the Holy Ghost, you know when people talk about it, amen, what that is, right? Yeah. You cannot describe an alcoholic. I forget so many words that I don't use. Rainbow to a blind man. You won't understand, never seen one. And in this message, a few people that they haven't seen the Holy Ghost, so they won't understand it. Anyway, so there's enough wine for everybody tonight. Just get your cups, your jugs. I don't care, bring your biggest one you want to basically want to bring. Thank you, musician. Because that's why we are here. We're here to partake of Christ. That's why when you have communion, you partake of his body, we can partake of his blood. Every time we come together, we're having communion with one another and with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we so love you, Father. We appreciate all you are doing, Father, in this small congregation. But in this little group, I know that you love them. I know you care for them. Father, I know that you are ready to meet every need, Father, that they have in their hearts. Father, we love you, Father, because you love us first when we were lost and undone. Father, I always ask myself, why would you love me when I was so unlovable? And I couldn't even love myself. But thank you, Lord, because you love me even through all that. Father, and I thank you. And tonight I ask you to bless your people, Father, give them their portion that they came to get. Reward and bless them, Father. Let your unction be upon us tonight, and let your word go out freely, Father. And let that word do according to the purpose that it was sent, Father. We love you and we thank you. Be with our pastor, brother, pastor, and Andy, Father, brother Andy, whatever they are, and those that are out traveling or sick or afflicted, be with them, Father. We just want you to raise them up, Father, again. Bring them back sound and safe so we can, again, partake and worship with one another as we should. In Jesus' name, we ask you all these things. Amen and amen. You can be seated. So, being that tonight is the last Sunday of the month, and I want to keep up with what the minister, we decided that we was going to try to speak to the young people on the last Sunday of the month. So we don't want to let that go. We're going to try our best to at least hold the fort until, you know, our brother comes back and we get together next year. We can bring some real preachers to you guys anyway. So, but I don't want to lose the spot. If you don't use it, you lose it. So we're going to do what we're supposed to do until, okay? So I'm going to speak to the young people tonight, you know, that you see here sitting down, and the Oscar clan too, they sit back there anyway, and the Mary's clan are there, and all you guys in front, Mark and Oscar and Adrian and Jeremiah and Jonathan, and what are you doing there, Eli? That's Renee, Eli. I call him Eli, that's his middle name. What is your brother? Se me fue. Okay. So anyway, are you Vicente? And what is your brother Jonathan? Don't worry, I'm just making you feel. No, don't worry about it. Levi, Isaiah, and who else is here? Grace. Yeah, that's the Mary clans, because I don't know their names. So the Oscar clan and I don't know. So that's how I get away with it. So and not only them, but anybody that feels young in heart, you can join. Because I'm just an old body, but inside me is a young guy. Yeah. Amen. So I'm going to speak to the young guys in all of you as well. So Maybe you can learn something here and there anyway. Or I can remind you of something that you forgot. Or I can remind you something that you haven't used but you like to use. You never know, because if you don't use it, you lose it, right? So that's why we have to refresh things. So Proverbs 2, chapter 2, verse 6 teaches us, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Those are the three words that I want you to talk to you about tonight, young people. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Now, the verse says, from the mouth comes knowledge. Well, we can put it this way. Sometimes we don't hear voices, audibly voices through you, you know. But the Bible says, my sheep will hear what? His voice. So he has to be talking, right? So somehow, I don't know how God talks to you, but God talks to me. Yes. So I hear his voice. His mouth must be moving when he's talking to me. Either through the Holy Ghost, he talks to you. How? I don't know. Brother Brown said it comes from your heart. It comes through your brain. It bypasses your mind. It goes right there and it talks to you. I don't know if you have experienced that. Sometimes you hear voices, and I do. And I say, wow, those voices are back. I wonder what's going on. But I said, wow, but if that's God or that's me? Sometimes I have to kind of, you know, think about it. But anyway, I know it's God talking to me because I know the situation that I am. I know what I need. And in that time, God has a perfect time. It cannot happen no other way, but in that time, and I know it's him talking to me in that way. So I think it's my thought, but it's not my thoughts. It is his thoughts. So he can speak to your mind. He can speak in an audible way too. You know, he can send you an angel. I don't know. Or he can speak to your heart softly, quietly. How do you know that? You know that. If you have experienced God, you will know that. It's just like I was saying, I cannot explain something that you have never experienced. Because how can I do that if you don't have no identification? You cannot identify with it. You will not understand it. But if you know what I'm talking about, you must have experienced it. So that's out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. So that's what the Holy Ghost is. The Holy Ghost will teach you, show you, will lead you. So that Holy Ghost is there to do that, to impart you knowledge and impart you understanding. Now, wisdom is a little bit tricky here because wisdom is a gift. And you can ask as much wisdom as you want. You can ask God. If you lack wisdom, ask him. He can give you abundantly. So that's a gift. So that is on the same level as a knowledge and understanding. But you cannot have understanding and knowledge without wisdom. So all three have to play. See? It's just like I was saying. You cannot have knowledge and have understanding and void of wisdom. It won't work. The same. You can have wisdom and you have no understanding and knowledge. It's just void. You have to have all three. All these three traits have to come together. Now, if you are like me, I spent a long time, a lot of time, seeking wisdom. I've been seeking wisdom since I started in this, that the Lord called me. Why? Because many decisions that I had to make require from me to have wisdom. And you probably the same way. You won't make a decision unless you seek wisdom. Wisdom, what is wisdom then? Well, wisdom is you have knowledge and you have understanding. Wisdom will take knowledge and understanding to make a decision. Because what good if you have a lot of information and you don't know what to do with it? What about you have a lot of information and you don't know what to do with it? That's where wisdom's coming. See, wisdom tells you what to do with what you know and what you understand. You know, to make the right decisions. Because if you don't have wisdom, you have knowledge, you made the wrong decision. I know you're going to make, I did it. When I was at the end of the world, we made the wrong decisions. Why? Because there was no wisdom. And the wisdom I'm talking about is the wisdom that comes from above. So wisdom, we're seeking wisdom for everything. We pray You know, every decision that I got to make, even if I'm going to take a trip, every decision I got to seek wisdom to find out what is the best way, when, how, where. I know, but you've been driving so long. You can do it. No, I know I can do it, but I don't want to do it. I want him to do it. I want him to do that. The time has to be perfect. You know, everything has to be perfect. I have avoided, I mean, not me. I remember your mom. She used to drive all the way from, my goodness. And she says, it's going to be good weather. It's going to be good weather. She knows exactly when and how she prays. And she always made it. Always. Drove back. Came back. And if it was a storm in the way, it was gone before she got there. Or it came after she passed that way. And that's what happens to me sometimes. I go through Kansas and Oklahoma. And there's a lot of tornadoes. And I had drove to there many times. And I see all the trailers in the road. Just the wind has taken them. Strong winds. You know, just in the medium sometimes. Cars and everything. And the signs are just broken and, you know, cast away that way. And I asked my wife, what happened? Well, a tornado must have came through. I'm glad it came through that I wasn't around. And God has always kept me in all my trip. Why? Because I need to seek wisdom. I can choose a day. I can choose a time. But I still say, God, this is what I need to do. You should seek wisdom even in the smallest thing you got to do. Because we have to start learning that it's not my way. It's not my decision. It is his decision. You know, God cares for you and for me, but it has to be done his way. Because when we do things our way, then God takes his hands off and says, okay. And then whatever happened, it happened. We pay for the consequences. We made mistakes. So I think you will agree with me that knowledge and understanding are important, but we need wisdom to make a good decision for decision making. Okay? And that is a process. Another process. So, I think you will agree with me that you will seek wisdom every time you want to engage or do something or start something or move on to something. So, I found very interesting in the Bible, I found many verses, and this is one that will bring all three together. I didn't separate them, looked them separate, but this is a few of the verses, and there's a few there that brings them all together. So, and these three words, it has different meanings, like I said. But the scripture will point out all this understanding. We will have understanding. Understanding. Okay. So the first one that I want to try to use separate is understanding. And understanding comes from learning God's word. There's no other understanding besides his word. See, he's the one that's going to give you understanding. Now, the knowledge comes from the experience that you have. And wisdom comes from the accumulation of these other two. You have information, you have knowledge. Now, which way I'm going to choose to go? What solution? Well, you have to have wisdom to choose the right way. But see, God is the only one can lead you, so you need wisdom. So, the problem is that you young people, okay? I'm sorry, but you have a lot of knowledge. In fact, when I was born, it wasn't even a cell phone. In fact, it wasn't a TV. TV came in 1950, 52, somewhere around there, in the States. Never got to Puerto Rico until later. I wasn't even born. My wife wasn't even born. So here we are, you know, that you know more than I knew when I was born. And I was your age. You knew more. You got more information now. But I got more wisdom. Because you got information and you don't know what to do with it. You think you know what to do with it. But I got wisdom. 73 years of, you know, learning wisdom. I made a lot of mistakes. And that taught me some wisdom. I will not do it again, some of them. And some of them I will do again. Because I did the right thing. I chose the right way. The right path. So, yeah. You know, I got a 5-year-old. Well, at least grandson, that he is the one that fixed my Apple phone. He changes my faces and things, you know, flow. And he goes in there, and I know he's been in my phone because everything has changed. I don't know how he do that. I mean, I don't even know how to do that. If I need something, I just call my 5-year-old. See? But you think if I y'all can hack life, you know, I told my him and the other one, I didn't say you. So life is hard. This is not how life is. Life is complex. Life is hard. But they don't understand me. They think, no, and then they just give me all kind of things. Well, I know, I know. Okay. So the problem is that you have a lot and you have more than I know when it comes to knowledge and information. The problem is I got wisdom. So what we can do is let's share. Huh? You give me information and I give you wisdom. I think I'm in the, I'm not old fashioned. Yeah, okay, I'm old fashioned, but, you know, and you're young, but you still need to have wisdom. And you cannot acquire wisdom unless you have knowledge and understanding together, all three of them. The only way you can learn wisdom is through life experiences. That's the only way you can learn it. So, God, ultimately, these three traits come from the Word of God. Let's look at Proverbs 2:6 that we read it. For the Lord gives us wisdom. It's the Lord that is giving of all these things. Okay? So, it comes from the Word of God, and they relate to each other. Now, when we look at this, the meaning of these words here, and we're going to define what wisdom is, or at least understanding first. Let's take understanding. Understanding is perceptive insight. That's how the Hebrew dictionary means discernment. Okay? You have to be able to discern things. Well, when you're young, you cannot discern too much anyway, because you haven't had no experience. And you have no understanding. Because to have understanding, you still have to have the Holy Ghost. That's what you need to begin with. Because the Holy Ghost is the one that's going to give you understanding. So you're going to walk through life and you're going to make this. If you make decisions on your own, I'm going to tell you what, they're going to be wrong. So understanding is an insight, perceptive insight. See? And the only way you can gain that is by having experiences in your life. Now, Jesus didn't have to have this learning process. He learned obedience by what he suffered. But he knew it all. So he didn't have to learn, listen to me, wisdom. He didn't have to learn understanding. He already had it. It came from his theophany. You know, when Brother Branham went to the third heaven, the theophany knew more than he knew. See? Because the word bodies. And Jesus already came from that theophany. He already know everything. In fact, if you were to ask Jesus in those days, the world was flat or round, he would tell you. You don't have to wait until, you know, Christopher Columbus come around and figure out that it was round. Do you think that Jesus knew that already? Yes. But that was information that was not needed for those days, right? He knew exactly. He had enough wisdom, enough knowledge, enough understanding of the scriptures. At 12 years old. Now, how many of you guys at 12 years old would go and discuss, you know, the gospel with your pastor? You know, 12 years old, Jesus, you know, he's discussing, you know, and they were in awe. Wow. What did this guy learn? I mean, this is 12 years old. He was already, you know, that way. But why? Because he came already from his theophany. He didn't bypass it. You and I bypassed it. Now we need to learn. We need to be tested. We need to have experiences. We need to learn all these things. So you don't get this by, you know, somebody decide to drop it in your lap. It takes learning. So to begin with, you come to the world, you know, young people, you come already, you know, the wrong way. We all came the wrong way. The Bible says we came the way that God did not intend it, by sex. So that is the wrong nature to begin with. We come lying, you know, and we come doing all kind of things. Why? Because that was the wrong nature. It was not the heavenly nature. So to begin with, we're losers when we are born. Why? Because we don't have the insight that Jesus had, the discernment that he has. In fact, you know, discernment is something that we get as we go. It's something that is also a trait in the Bible. And you get it by what? By learning, understanding by the teaching. So what happened? Even before you were born, this is what happens. To begin with, your mom and your daddy came together and he made you. Well, what they did, they cloned themselves. You are cloned, actually. We all clone. See, because 23 chromosomes of my father got joined with 23 chromosomes of my mother, and here we are. Voila. I am half of my mom and half of my dad. So you started already, and you act like your mom and your dad. I know, because when I grew up, I was doing things that I said, man, that's just like my dad would say it. Sometimes I said things that my dad would say, and my wife says, Manuel, because that's the name of my dad, because I sound just like him. You know, why? Because 80% of what you are, now listen to me, 80% of what you are is what you got at home in your first 5 years. You are your mom and you are your dad, like it or not. Okay? 80% of who you are was what you was taught in the first 5 years of your life from mom and dad. So that's all you know at 5 years old. Sometimes I tell my grandchildren, don't do that. Or do this. And they say, no, that's not what my mom said. I say, I don't care. I'm telling you to do that because this is my house. No, that's not how my mom told me to do it. I said, don't flush the toilet. And I said, yes, I got to flush the toilet. My mom said to flush the toilet. So sometimes I said, okay, disregard my rules. Go with your mother's rule. I support your mother's rule anyway. That's what I'm supposed to do. Some of them. But why? Because their influence, the greatest influence, came from mom and dad. That's why it's so hard to have an influence in a child that is not yours, because they're going to believe mom and dad first. Because that's the first influence. And it's great. 80% of who they are, they got it in the first 5 years of their, in the house. Now, the other 20%, the other 10%, and the other 5%, the other 10%, you get it, you know, with life, you know, at school, your peers. You know, you start comparing yourself with your peers and what they believe, and that's why we get in trouble, because we start making decisions. We don't have no wisdom. We start making decisions of what your peers telling you. But let me tell you one thing. You don't have no wisdom to begin with. Now you're going to ask you know, you said, well, I'm going to ask my friend what to do in this situation. You know, your friend is just as lost as you are. But because he's a little older, you think he's okay. He can teach me. He might have a little bit more experience, but still, you know, listen, you don't need to find another friend. You don't need to go to another place when you want to find wisdom for something. At that age, until you're 12 years old or a little more, you need to talk to your parents, because they are the one that are in charge. They are the one that God put, and they are responsible of you and all your actions. They are responsible until you grow and you leave and you get married. Now you're responsible. But they are responsible for you, and they are going to give account of you, not your friends. And then your friends cannot advise you. It's in the learning process, just like you. So the reason we don't want to ask mom and dad for wisdom in any situation that we have is because they're going to tell me something that I don't want to hear. But mom, you're such an old-fashioned. Okay, I don't want to dress that way. I want the latest, you know, things. But they try to give you wisdom. But if you have a problem, you need to go to your parents. The reason you rebel against your parents, like I did, I'm not saying you guys, when I was your age, I rebel, because I find myself that, you know, I am my dad in one side and I am my mom in another side. People look at me and say, you look like your mom. Okay. Then other people, no, you look like your dad. You know, you look like both of them. You got no choice. But say there come a time in your life that you want to find your own identity. See, that's why you rebel. Because you don't want to be like mama, you don't want to be like dad. See, you're growing and you want to be yourself. But that, in that, you're looking for something that you don't know what you're looking for. Because if you don't want to be like mom and dad, what do you want to be? That's why we ask you. What you want to be when you grow up? I don't know. Why? Because you don't have no idea. Well, all these things are against you. Now, the other 5%, that is left, that's you. What you do, you take everything that you know, see, and everything that you heard, and everything that you have learned, and then you make your mind, 5%, which one I'm going to follow. So you got a 5% decision on the whole formula. That's all. That 5% is just to deciding what to do with all you have heard, and with all you read, and with all you know. Hopefully you made the right decision with all that. Hopefully you made the right decision when mama talked to you, you know, and when the preacher preaches, and when you heard the word. That is it. So now you're going to go in life, and you're going to learn wisdom. You cannot learn wisdom unless you have experiences. Now, I learned a lot of wisdom by making mistakes. It's not the way to go. I'm going to tell you right now, young people. Because you're going to pay dearly for those decisions and those choices. You know why? Because you're going to make the wrong choices, and they're going to be hard. And sometimes those choices that you made, you have to follow you the rest of your life. So what I'm saying is that you don't have to make a mistake to learn. You know, I made that mistake. I told my dad one time, I said, I was a teenager, rebellious, and I said, you know what, I'm tired of your experiences. You're always telling me that don't do this, don't do that, because this happened to you, and you was in this situation. I said, I don't want to hear. I really said that. I don't want to hear. I want to live my own experiences. What a mistake, huh? But you know what I'm telling him? I'm going to leave your mistakes again, because that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what he did, and I'm going to get in trouble. But see, you don't have to do that. If you do what your mom and dad tell you, you don't make that mistake, because they already made it. Believe me. That's why they tell you not to do it, because they already know. I know what I did. So I don't want my children to do that. And they don't have to. If they listen to me, they will not have to go through that. At least that mistake. What happened, like me, you know, I was rebellious, so I told my father, I'm going to look for my own experiences. I need to find out for myself. Mistake. You don't need to find. You ain't going to find anything anyway. But more trouble is what we're going to find. So when you look for something and you need something, ask your parents, ask your pastor. Listen, Jesus didn't make any mistakes at all. You know why? Because he did everything the Father told him. It wasn't on him. It wasn't the Father to prove the word was real, not him. See, if you do everything your parents tell you when you're growing, you know, times, and you listen at them, if you make a mistake, don't worry, we claim, you know, your father, that was to be blamed. We blame them, because they are the one leading you and guiding you. So Jesus never made a mistake, because he's always listened, and he did what the Father showed him. So if you do the same, you will have a better life. Why? Because you don't have to make the mistake that they made. And they're trying to guide you for that reason. I don't want you to get hurt. I don't want my children. I don't want my children to get hurt. So I'm trying to keep them from doing the same mistake that I made. They don't need to learn. You don't need to learn experience by making mistakes. That's the wrong way. Why? Because when you are told to do something and you're obedient and do it and everything goes right, that's your experience. There's nothing written that you said that you have to make a mistake in order to learn that. No, if you listen at the word of God, the understanding and the knowledge and what you get from mom and dad, then you will be obedient and you will never have to worry about it. You have experience. You did the right thing. You made the right choice. And it stays with you all the rest of your life. See? That is the thing. I had to make a lot of changes in my life. God had to. Because I made a lot of mistakes. Mistakes that were worthy of dying, actually. You get in such a big trouble so you don't listen to mom and dad. Now I can tell you that because I already went through all that. And I want you to know that you are hearing this from me, not from your mom and dad, see? Amen? So, understanding. Beginning with understanding is you have to have a discernment. So since you don't have discernment and you don't have no wisdom, then you have to rely on your parents because they are responsible. The Bible says, teach your children the way they should go. Train them. and they will never depart. Now, they might make a mistake, but they will never depart from that. So you are responsible to teach him the understanding, the knowledge, and so impart your wisdom so they can learn. They might depart, they might go astray, but they will never depart. I departed big time. But the word never departed from me. I remember what my grandmother told me. I always remember what I heard at church. So when I got tired, you know, let's make it that way. Let's say it that way. I got tired of doing what I was doing. I was tired of my life. I was tired of everything. I just threw my hands up to God. I said, that's it. I'm done. Can't continue this way. And I remember that day. I can't see it in my mind. So next day I woke up and everything has changed. Everything. Listen, it wasn't a miracle. It wasn't a light that struck me or a lightning. It was not a supernatural. I just surrendered my life. I said, you know, I'm done. Lord, you have to do something. I'm done. So he came in, and that morning when I woke up was a Sunday morning. And for some reason, it was a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Everything was different, and I didn't know I was different, but I know I was different. So my life started from there on. Almost 30 years old. See? Bucking, you know, against. You know, like Paul. So, wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. So you need to take these three things. But, however, you will not be able to learn this thing until you get older and you start experiencing life. Listen, life is not going to be easy. Life is hard. It's hard without Jesus. Can you imagine trying to walk with no understanding and no way and not knowing? That is hard. For me, now I can look back and say, that's hard. Because you don't know what the outcome is going to be. See? So, understanding comes from learning God's word. Let's go to John 3:3 here. The Bible says, I'm not even having in writing, so we're going to look at John chapter 3, verse 3 says, I wanted to keep it simple tonight. I already read enough this morning. I don't want to read no more. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I said unto thee, it says a man is born again. So that's the first thing. Let's take care of the first thing first. Born again, he cannot see the kingdom. You will have no understanding, Brother Brown says, of the kingdom. You will have no understanding of the word of God to do the right things. First thing first, get the Holy Ghost. Because now you have something in you that will constrain you. It will limit you. It will help you to walk the right way. It will listen at the Holy Ghost. That is the first thing we need to do. Then when we have that understanding that comes from the God's word and through his Holy Ghost, then we can move to the next one. And that knowledge. Knowledge comes through experiences. Now you take a boy that is 10 years old, had no experience, he don't know what life is all about, even though they think they know because they read it in the book or they heard somebody, they don't have no idea. So what do you think a 10-year-old boy is going to do if he tried to make his own decision? Well, he won't get nowhere because he don't have no experience. You have to experience life. You got to be tested. Remember that word tested? That's what you're here for, to experience, to be tested. And hopefully you made the right decision. You made the right choice depending on what you know, your understanding, the word, and your wisdom. So experiences. So see, you have not experienced life at the degree that I have experienced life. I can have more wisdom. You're just studying. So you still have a long life. If the Lord decides to come, not come in the next 100 years, you have a long life to learn experience. Now, I'm on my way out. I already came and I'm going back and I'm returning back. So you guys just beginning life. And life is not the way you think it is. Sometimes people put it like it's just a picnic, but it's not a picnic. So wisdom come from the accumulation of these other two. The more experience you get, the more knowledge you get, the better you are equipped to make the right decision. That's what wisdom is. So at this point, you're not there. You know some things. You don't know everything. And even if you know, have more information than I have, and you have more understanding than I have, you still don't have the wisdom that is learned through experiences. Putting these two together. So, all these three, however, come from God. Ultimately, all these come from God. Let's read Proverbs. We read it in Proverbs 2:6. Teaches us this way. I'd like to just spend a few more minutes in understanding these three. Let's start with understanding. So, I said it was discernment, ability to perceive. The ability to perceive something and make the right judgment. That's what understanding means. See, God enabled us to realize the danger of wrong choices. See? And He wants you to gain the understanding so you can make the right choices. See? You can get the better solution in your life for what you're looking for. But you have to have that understanding of the word. That's why you come to church. That's why you have the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will teach you all these things. It will give you the discernment that you need. You know, you guys know when something is not right. I mean, you know when something is not quite the way it should be. Maybe you don't know what's happening, but you know that something is not right. In fact, Brother Brown said, if you have a doubt, don't do it. That's wisdom. If you have a doubt and you don't know what's going on and you don't understand, and don't make a decision because you don't know exactly what's going on. And to make a decision in something that you don't know would be a big mistake. So if something looks like doubting, you know, not clear to you, please stop there and wait. And wait upon the Lord to give you the understanding, to give you the knowledge that you need to make a right decision. See? So, in Hob 28:28 says, and let's see if we can put it on the screen. Job 28:28. Okay. I'm going to work as fast as you can. No. Okay. Behold. That's that's not the one I got over here. I must have made a mistake. Oh, well, yeah. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. Reverence, respect. Okay, if the Bible said not to do it, don't do it. That's how you pay respect and honor to the word of God, to God's words. Mom and dad tell you not do that. Do not do that. Tell my grandchildren, don't do that, don't do that. And they just keep doing it. Listen. I had to stop and... Did you hear what I said? Yeah, not do that. So what if you continue doing it? No. You heard me, but she said they test you to the max. They're going to see if you're going to really do what you said you're going to do. Yeah, they test you. They test you, those are the kids. Because they want to push you all the way to the envelope, I mean, as far as they can. And if you don't come behind them, then they continue doing it because, well, okay, it just works. But sometimes you have to shake them and say, stop. I just told you, don't do that, and they continue doing it. So, he says over there, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and depart from evil. Now, you're getting a clue now. Evil, see, is not understanding. Because that is not the understanding that you want. So, every time something is not right, you should depart from that. To begin with, young people. And you say, but I don't know if it's right or wrong. Then you ask mama and papa to do it. Sometimes we want to do it, and that's what we don't ask. But you have to override those desires to do what you want because you're going to be wrong. If something don't look right and something look bad, that's what we tell you all the time when you surfing the internet. You know what's good and bad. You know what you're supposed to be looking and not looking, and they already told you not to. Depart from evil. Because every time you look at that, you're telling me you don't have no understanding. You're void of an understanding. So, if you say, but mama, I will not do that, then stay with that. So, it says, and depart from evil. That is the understanding. That is the first thing that we need to do. Now, don't tell me, young people, that you don't know what's good and bad and evil. Because I was young like you, and I knew. You know when you know you're doing something wrong when you don't tell your parents? You want to hide it? I know. I was there like you guys. I was at this, but I'm going to say something, but that is so forgotten and forgiven. But I used to steal money. You know, I don't know why. When I was a kid, I liked money because I wanted to buy candies and the stuff that I wanted. So I wasn't working. I ain't got no money. So I would steal it from my mom or my dad. And sometimes when I grew up, being a teenager, I stole some money. No, I didn't go to jail. Don't worry about it. They didn't caught me. Glad God didn't let them. No, I didn't assault nobody and kill anybody. I'm just working in a store, and I was working the register. They trusted me. Wrong choice. Because they didn't know me, so I gave change, and I put some in my pocket. Yeah? That is all in the past. Anyway, that's the only lie. I don't even know that guy anymore. I don't know that guy. This is the new guy, the new Eli. So, you know, one day, I was at home, and I needed some money to go to the store. So I went in my mom's room, and I got in her purse, and she came behind me. I didn't know, and she opened the door, and she cut me. What are you doing? Oh, nothing. I know what I was doing. Don't tell me you don't know what you're doing wrong. You know what you're doing wrong. So, you know, stealing, you know that's from the Bible. Tell you, that's understanding. Stealing is wrong. Lying is wrong. You know, and on and on and on. The Bible tells you exactly. Maybe if you have not experienced it, you don't have to do it to learn it. You already know. And if you obey, that's your experience. You're learning. So she got me, and she got, you know, whatever she found, a stick or whatever, shoes, socks, whatever she threw at me, and she let me have it, and she left. And I got upset. I was mad at my mom because she caught me stealing. How stupid I am. And I was mad at her because she called me. So I said, I'm going to fix her. I'm going to get angry. I want a vengeance, you know. I mean, it just don't stop there. It just goes and goes. So I found some scissors, and she bought a new lamp. And I said, I'm going to cut the cord. Well, I didn't know anything about electricity. This is how stupid I am. I don't know how electricity, I'm both void of wisdom and knowledge. I don't know, you know, what electricity was. So, man, I took the scissors and I went to cut the lamp cord. And when I did like this, I stopped crying, fixed myself, and I left the room. I learned wisdom and electricity. Don't touch it. Don't get it. Instead of learning not to steal, don't forget about electricity. I learned something about electricity. To this day, I didn't tell my mom. She probably found it already. Probably it hit me so hard that, you know, I was grounding. So I must have hit the positive. But as soon as you hit one strand, that's it. You out. So she probably didn't notice that was Nick. But I nicked it anyway. So, you see, and I know I've been there. I had done things. And I don't want to confess in everything that I had done. This is not what the service is all about. But I understand that the thing we do wrong is we know we are wrong. You come to church, you know what to do and what not to do. By the understanding of the word of God, you know what's right and what's wrong. And you know when you know you're doing something wrong, your body shakes. You know why? Because your body knows that you're not supposed to lie. You know, your body tells you that you're not supposed to lie. Every time you start telling a lie, your body starts fighting against you. You know, that's why you have a lie detector. They use a lie detector because you can be telling a lie, but the body is saying, that's wrong, that's wrong. You're saying it's true, and the body's saying, no, that's wrong, that's wrong. Your heartbeat goes up, your pressure goes up, you start sweating. You know, they know the signs. So your body tells you. God will tell you. You have the Holy Ghost, what's right and what's wrong, you know. And we should just always listen. You don't have to make a mistake to learn. You can be obedient, and you will learn. So, okay, the understanding. You need to listen to your parents. You need to listen to your pastor. You need to listen to your Sunday school teacher. You're coming up, you know. And then, with time, you will learn, you know. You will learn understanding. Maybe you don't need to experience something wrong to understand something, like I did. I learned electricity for my first time. See, but you don't have to make a mistake to understand the laws of electricity. See, don't do it, and you already know. Now, if you don't have no previous experience, this is where knowledge comes out. The next one, it also comes from God. And it comes through the experiences that you and I have. See, at work, at school, everywhere you go. Every time you confront life, every time you go out there, you know, you learn something. There's knowledge. There's a lot of knowledge out there at the tip of your finger. See, so the problem with knowledge is that you have to have experience in order to make a decision. But if you don't have no previous experience, how are you going to do your job? That's why you go to school, right? To have understanding and knowledge so you can go and do work. Still, you still don't have all the, you know, you're not wise. Because I remember when I used to work, people used to come out of straight out of universities, and they won't hire them. Because the first thing they ask him is, how much experience do you have? Well, I got all this knowledge. Well, all that's book knowledge, that's theory. Have you practiced? Have you been practicing? No. Well, why don't you go out there and find some, you know, experience. When you get a couple of years of experience, come back. I mean, why am I hiring you? But then they start griping. I don't blame them. How am I going to get experience if nobody wants to give me a job? You know, it's true. But some people get lucky and they take them as an apprentice. They start learning. But you need to have experience. See? Understanding without experience is no good. Because you won't make the right decisions. So the same thing at church. You know, you got skills, you got talents, you got gifts that God provides for each one of you. But if you don't start trying to use them, how will you have experience with your gift? See, some of you may be afraid to use your gift because you don't want to make a mistake. And now we don't want to make mistakes. But the problem is that we are trusting God. He gave us the gift. And if he gives us the gift, God will make sure that those gifts will find a place. See? So we don't have to be afraid of gifts. If you have it, you have it. God will vindicate that in your life. It's what you have to know. But if we manufacture one, you're going to find out also because things are not going to go as well. And that's not wisdom. So we learn. And God provides all these ways so we can have experiences. See? And then once we have experience, we can confront a little bit life. We have some experience. But that's not good enough yet. You have experience at work, and they trust you with a job, with a project, and you have to make it happen. You got to make choices. See? So you have all the knowledge in the world, and you have all the understanding, but now you have never done that work to make the right decision at the right times. See? That takes time. Because we have to learn. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Respecting God, honoring God, honoring his word is the beginning of what? Knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instructions. See? So how are they going to have the... I don't care how much knowledge they have. If they're despising wisdom and instruction, how they can make the right decision? I would not follow someone like that. You know, full of knowledge but no wisdom. Full of knowledge but no understanding. So those three have to work together. So knowledge, again, is provided. And provides what we have need to be able to make a good choice in our life. So fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is reverence. Is honor the Lord. Respect the Lord. Respect his word. And then you also humble yourself because that is necessary to gain knowledge. You're gaining knowledge. You come to church. Your parents bring them to church. Your parents read your Bible. Your parents have family altars. What they're trying to do is to train you in the way you should go. In the way that God wants you to go. They impart knowledge to you. They impart understanding to you. See, so when you go out there in life and you start having experience, You can be wise about the choices that you make. Wisdom. Take these two. Emerge knowledge and understanding. See? So that's why we have to have this. When we have enough, you know, sometimes like me, we have enough mistakes and we gain enough knowledge, then we have wisdom. But you don't need to learn it that way, like I did. I have wisdom. I have a lot of things that I learned from my mom and dad. However, not everything that I learned from mom and dad, I like to use it. Not because it was wrong. There's certain things, it's a lot of things that I will take from mom and dad that I learned. And I will do it again, the way they done it. I'm doing that. Sometimes I find myself, wow, this is just like my dad. I'm doing just doing like he's doing. I'm just saying, because those things were good, but there's certain things that are not all of them, like raising my children. Like life changes. Everything has changed. You know, what I had there, they don't have it. They have something else. So some things had to be changed. Not everything that they did for me applies in this generation. So they have different things and different knowledge and different tools. So I'm not saying that I will not use things that I disagree with. I don't disagree. I just cannot use them. I'm not saying that they don't have no value. I just need to improve on some of the stuff, you know. Okay, let me give you an example because I know you're looking at me. We were three boys and my father four boys, my poor mom, you know, four men in the house. So when we were boys, we fight, we get in trouble, we kick, and we always doing something, you know. So my father used to put us in the shed. But he got tired enough of us, put us in the shed in the back of the house. And then that's his, you know, time out for us. You don't do that today. They call DS and you're gone and they take your kids. Okay, I turned out to be okay. But that's what I'm saying. There's certain things that I will not do in this because things have changed. I mean, you hit and have bruises and your kids have bruises, you know what's going to happen. So my father used to lock us up. I mean, three boys in the back shed. So my brother found out one time, because the shed was made out of bricks, you know, the walls, we loosen up one of the bricks on the bottom, we loosen up. And then we go out and play all afternoon. And when we see our dad coming back, I think he left or in the house. When we see him, we get back into the hole, back into the shed, and we just act like nothing happens. Yeah, once we find out that trick, we don't care to be locked in because we get out anyway and go and play all over the neighborhood. Then my father didn't even know anything. He was okay. But I think my father knew. I think he didn't know that we were escaping, you know. So, but okay, that's one thing. See, that's one of the things that I would not do, you know, to help my children. I'm a traumatic guy. All in the darkness, in the shed. It probably affected me. But anyway, I wouldn't have done to my children. Because I don't want to traumatize them, you know. So certain things like that I would not repeat. Even though it worked for me and it worked for my mom and daddy, it will not work for me today. Everybody see me doing that, forget it. I take my grandchildren and lock them up in my back shed until I'm, you know. No, they would probably bring the police to take me away. So when I said, you know, I had learned a lot of knowledge and a lot of understanding from my mom and dad, there are certain things that I would not do because it won't work in this age. And even if it would work, I would not do that. Because I think it's, you know, it was okay. I guess I turned out to be okay. Yeah? You know, I don't blame my dad and my mom for being so, you know, mad at three boys, you know, running all over the place and doing whatever and breaking things anyway. But we used to be pretty good, you know, children. We used to break things and do things. Anyway, let's forget about that. So I just needed to tell you that because so I can justify saying, you know, I won't do certain things because I don't think they're appropriate for this age. It was appropriate for my family. And I tell you something. A family should not advise another family how to raise their children. That's not wisdom. And the reason is that maybe when you're bringing your children, you do something that works for your family and your children. But you try to share that with your other, you know, but my son and my, I'm doing this and that. When you tell him, but do this, 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 that might work. No, it won't work. Different families, different parents, different everything. Different houses, different outcome. Everything is different. So when people used to ask me advice about things like that, I used to tell them, listen, this is what I did with my children. Now, I don't know if it's going to work for you. You need to find out what, you know your children, you know what makes them tick, you know what button you can push. And see, I don't, but this is what my family went through. But if you want to, but I'm not guaranteed that it's going to work. Because what works for my children might not work for your children. That's what I don't advise anybody about their children. See, let mama and daddy, you know, get enough wisdom and knowledge and understanding so they can take care of the family. Pray for the families in the church that God will guide them and lead them in the right things. Maybe it will not do it the way you did it, but they might do it in another way that might work for them. For example, I was in the tabernacle there in the Brother Green Tabernacle. And it was a brother. Oh, what was his name? Anyway, that used to take her once a month to the skating ring. So we use Christian music. We don't use their music, right? We use Christian. So it was fine. So I had a brother that has 7 kids or 6, I think. And he would not let his kids come to the event. So I asked him, you know, brother, why don't you let your children come to the skating rink? He says, well, you see that music that they're playing? That's Christian music, and the Christian music only belongs to in church. I said, okay. You know, I'm not going to tell you how to raise your children, you know. But if you had that conviction, just keep it to yourself. Now, my conviction is different. I'm allowed them to do that, and that's fine with me. I don't see nothing wrong with that. But that's my conviction. Maybe it's not yours. That's what I said. Don't tell someone to do something that, you know, the children want to do. So I agree with him. I didn't tell him, but you're wrong. Why? What about if I'm wrong too? And I don't know that. So I told him, okay, brother, I understand your concern. And if that's your conviction, then I respect it. So I'm going to try to tell him that he's wrong and he should have let them go on because she just the old fashioned and wanted them to have fun. No, I said, good. Because sometimes things don't work for everybody the same way. We need to respect families. We need to respect our children. So do not advise unless you ask. And if you ask, make sure you have a clause, you know, in case it don't happen. Anyway, so wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And this is the lesson we need to learn over time. It will provide you, if you learn enough, it will provide you a pathway to make the right decisions in your life. Always seek help. Don't try to do things on your own. I did that. Don't try to. Your parents are there to help you. You know, everybody's just cold. They're there to help you. Don't try to advance on something that you had no idea. You know, don't take chances. Why? That's what the devil wants you. Take chances. You know, ask. You know, that's what we are here for. You know, your pastor is here to help you. He's not here to destroy you. God is not here to destroy you. You know what? We want to help you. So you have to have confidence. I mean, you come every Sunday. You have confidence in the ministry. You know, sometimes that's why sometimes adults, even adults, we don't want to talk to our pastor. Well, he intimidates me. If he don't mean to do that. You know, maybe because he's a little bit serious. I was serious all my life. I was so serious that people was afraid of me. And I'm glad because they left me alone. They thought that, The first impression people got of me, it was I was too serious. So they left me alone. I said, good, it's working, you know. Some of those people didn't want around me. But I was very serious. Now, I was serious about everything, but I was not, you know, like serious about life. I wish I was serious about life and did the right things. But knowledge and wisdom and understanding. So, young people, This is easy. It's not brain surgery. Respect mom. Respect dad. Respect your elders. You say, but I cannot learn nothing from you. You can learn from me. I already made the mistakes. You don't have to be worrying about, okay, I want a girlfriend. You don't need a girlfriend, I tell you. Why you want to get in those troubles so early? Wait until, you know. You don't need all these things. But I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know who I'm going to marry. You're too young to be worrying about all these things. Why don't you just obey the word of God? Continue growing in the Lord as you grow physically. Continue pleasing God, pleasing your parents. You please God first. Above all, things will come to you. Seek the kingdom of God first. See? And he will add everything that you need. Why would you worry about anything like that? Life, you know, life will have his way with you. So just wait. Don't, see, that's what happened to me. When I was your age, I wanted to be 30 years old. So I got to 30 and 40, and now I want to go back to when I was. Why would you want to hurry? I did. I want to be grown. I want to be an adult. I want to do what I want to do. Well, I got there. And now I want to go back. I'm getting too old now. I want to go back to what I was. So don't try to, you know, hurry up the whatever. You know what I'm trying to say. You know, so life will happen to you. But let it happen at the time it's supposed to happen. Don't hurry life. You know, continue pleasing God, pleasing the Lord. Honor your father and your mother. You know, learn from them, okay? Because they are there to train you. That is their responsibility. God has tasked them to train you in that ways. So learn. You don't have a vision of what you want to be or what you want to do, but the vision is, it says the Bible, obey your parents. That is your vision. Whatever they tell you, that's what you need to do. And you say, but they're not right. How do you know? You don't even have enough wisdom to tell me if I'm right or wrong. See, they have wisdom already. They have knowledge already. They have got understanding of the word of God. They have made mistakes. So they know. When they tell you, don't do that, do this, they know what they're telling you. Amen? Don't have no quotes to read for you. So it should be about 40 minutes of service. Yeah, an hour. So somebody told me at the door, you don't have no quotes today. I said, no quotes. Man, it should be about 30 minutes. Yeah. No, I just wanted to just speak from my heart to you guys. I believe that maybe I'm not a fiery, you know, preacher that comes and jumps and run and you get all excited. You know, and then what's good to have all that stuff if you don't learn anything? You know, you can learn from your parents. You can learn from the elders. You can learn from your pastor. You can learn if you can humble yourself. You can humble yourself. And if you make a mistake, and you can ask for forgiveness, you need to humble yourself. That is the last part of the whole thing. Learn how to admit that you made a mistake. See? It was a... Brother Branham was telling the story about this woman that she committed adultery. And she needed healing, but she couldn't get healed. And he talked to Brother Branham, you know. So Brother Branham says, well, sister, you know, he saw a vision. He says, you did this, this, and this. Yeah, but I asked God for forgiveness already. But she said, you didn't commit the sin against God. You committed the sin against your husband. Children, every time you do something wrong, you know who reflects to? You did it against your dad and mom. I don't care if you go to God and say, forgive me. You still got to ask them for their forgiveness. Then God will forgive you. So the lady says, no, if I tell him, he's going to leave me. Yeah, the consequences are going to come. You just got to face the consequences of your actions. However, she said, but he's going to leave me and blah, blah, blah. I said, don't worry about it, sister. He did the same thing. So you guys go back there and make it up and agree and ask each other forgiveness. So, don't think for 1 minute that if you tell God to forgive you that you made all things right. You didn't. You need to talk to your parents. You need to ask them forgiveness because you dishonor your head. Your father and your parents, your heads, an authority over you as long as you are in the house. So you dishonor your head if you do something wrong and you don't ask for forgiveness. They will understand. They made mistakes. I made mistakes. I understand. The problem is we have to humble ourselves and ask for correction when we do something wrong. And try it again. Yeah, I know you will not do it the second time because you're going to tell dad and mom, okay, I'm sorry, I will not do it again. Anyway, tomorrow you do it again, but don't worry about it. I know you're going to do it. I know how it works. I always tell God, oh, I'm sorry, God, and sometimes I do it again and again. Listen, forgive. They will forgive you. 49 times 7, whatever it is, they will forgive you. In one day. So never be afraid. Never be afraid to humble yourself and talk to your parents, okay? And if you do anything against someone else, it works the same way. You need to ask for forgiveness. You need to make things right from the very beginning. And I'm going to finish with this. When I received the Lord back in, I was in the apostle that I remember, the first thing God convicted me of that I needed to go back and make things right. So the first thing, I went to my mom first. Actually, I had to write a letter because I was in the apostle. She was in Puerto Rico. And I had to write a letter asking her to forgive me for all the things that I put her through and all the things that I did to her and all the things that I knew, you know, it hurt her and everything. So I asked him for then my father, I had to write my father. I mean, I was already 30 years old. I'm writing them and asking to forgive me. I couldn't go forward. Now, there was many things that I did that I couldn't go back. Those people were dead or they're gone, and I couldn't ask him for forgiveness. But whoever that I could, I did. The Lord would not let me move forward until I made things right. You cannot move forward if you make a mistake and you don't make it right. And believe me, it will hang on you until you make it right. And God will not bless you until things are right. Amen? Humble yourself in the sight of God. And he will abase you. He will bring you up. Not abase you. Anyway, bring you up. Amen? Shall we stand? I hope, you know, I can impart to you a few words of wisdom. And take it from me, I have lived long enough to experience a lot of stuff that you have not yet. So believe me, it's not worth it. Not worth it to make mistakes because we don't ask for directions, wisdom, because we have to pay for all that sooner or later. So does that help you guys or not? Jonathan, you got back. Huh? Thank you. You was lost for a little bit, but we found you anyway. You're probably in the bathroom or something, right? Yeah. That's all right. Don't worry about it. I'm just trying to just make you feel good. Anyway, what are we seeing? I don't know. Come on, guy. I'm not the singer type.